For one final time this season, let's talk some Cleveland Browns football here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. I'm Rocco Nucci, and he is longtime sportscaster, the legend himself, JT John Telich, in the house again talking some Brownies one final time this season. And JT, I mean, we really don't even have to talk too much about that finale against the Ravens. I think we all kind of saw that one coming. A lot of guys not playing for the Browns. Ravens still gunning for it. That AFC North crown, which they end up getting as they overtook the Steelers there down the home stretch of the season. So just kind of talking about this big offseason ahead for the Browns, we can start with number four, Deshaun Watson. The news broke of a major setback for him in his recovery from that Achilles injury and surgery. So details kind of light on what exactly that setback was or looks like or what have you. But, you know, moving forward, JT, does that change, I guess, what the most likely outcome is in regards to him, his future with the Browns, and, you know, if he ever plays another snap for Cleveland?
Well, first of all, the ball dropped on New Year's Eve to another year, and you could say that 2024, the Browns dropped the ball from the jump. I mean, they really did. I mean, they had so much anticipation coming into the season, and then things kind of went away real quickly, and it was December in Berea. Basically in mid-October, if you will. Watson, I have to think that the Browns, knowing the public sentiments and seeing what abysmal results they saw on the field, they had to be thinking, first of all, have to look towards the future without this guy ever playing another snap for them. And I know they had some insurance protection on his contract, and I don't know what happened with this quote-unquote setback. There's been a lot of behind-the-scenes snickering and what have you from people in Browns Nation about how convenient this was, whatever. I just see this as they'll come to a point where there will be a post-June 1st, 2026 release of Deshaun, from the Browns. And I know there's some, as I mentioned, some insurance protection. And you move on from there. But it was just a bad look from the jump. Him putting out TikTok videos, with his girlfriend. He's not with the team. He's the supposed leader of the team, rehabbing. It's just not a good look for the organization. And so from the jump, everything kind of snowballed. They changed the focus of the offense. They go get Dorsey. Dorsey doesn't work out. You wonder, why did they move away from AVP? Why the moves on other positions like Stump Mitchell was let go? A lot of stuff that had you scratching your head, as it were. And then you come into the season, Rocco, and the real curious thing is they were successful in 2023. No hiding the fact that they had a real good year, went to the playoffs, ended rather abruptly down in the game against Houston, the exit from the 2023 season, the playoffs. But, a lot of the success they had in 23, some of it was the Flacco effect. Other parts of it was they did face some quarterbacks that were backups. And so maybe they overread the room. Maybe they thought that, certainly got to tweak things to make it more comfortable for Deshaun going into 2024. But gosh almighty, the year before, in 2023, they were among the top teams, if not the top team in football, in pre-snap penalties. And so what did they do to improve that situation in 2024 is they went out and clearly led the league in pre-snap penalties. So it makes you wonder, who was driving the bus in Berea from the get-go, especially going into the season. They had the preseason that seemed to be, club med. It didn't seem to be as strenuous of a camp, and they were offensively so abysmal in their scrimmages with another team. And all the signs were there. It's like you see the oncoming train, but you just kind of put it out of your mind that it's not going to approach where you are on the tracks, and then all of a sudden it's running you over. It really was unfortunate that the Browns populace had to go through this whole year on an emotional basis, backing a team that just didn't have anything to be a 3-14 club. Crazy. Just a crazy year.
JT, let's stick with the offense real quick, if we could,
sure.
And, you know, not to get too deep into the X's and O's and go full football nerd on all of our listeners here, but offensively, obviously, Dorsey a big problem in terms of being the offensive coordinator, all the quarterback issues, as we've already talked about today and all season long, really. How do you even go about fixing this offense heading into next season? Because you're kind of back at square one all of a sudden.
Well, you're going into next year presuming that Joel Bitonio, continues to play pro football. Let's hope that he does. Let's hope he gives them one more season, possibly even two. We don't know. But presuming that's the case, you still have the makings of a real good offensive line. It's just that let's have them play to their strengths, which was, you know, the run game, the wide zone that they ran with, you know, Callahan when he was here. And so go back to that play action kind of a format, setup for your offense I just think that whole spread thing with the shotgun, it just was ill-fated from the start. And so I think that's the number one way that you can go. Obviously Nick is coming back from an injury. There's no guarantee that he'll be back, but you've got to address the running back situation in the off season, and you have to go back to more of that play action type of football, again, without getting too far into the weeds here of the X's and O's. Like Joel Bitonio, for example, he was telling reporters that in 2023, he probably pulled 10 times a game. And that's when they were running the ball better. You had more success with Jerome Ford. Of course, Nick had great success in a game and a half before he got injured in Pittsburgh. And so they were pulling a lot. He and Wyatt Teller were very proficient at that, pin and pull, as they say, and pull and pin. And so, and then in this year, he said he probably pulled maybe 10 times total the whole year. So I think you go back to more of that type of an approach, running the football, controlling the game a bit more. Because when you look at this year, offensively, the incredible amount of times that they went out there on Sundays and other dates and couldn't even put 20 points on the board. It's pretty crazy that was the case for them. They did catch lightning in a bottle for a couple of games with Jameis before Jameis showed what Jameis is capable of. But by and large, I think they have to go to that type of an approach. And that's obviously going to be with some kind of a quarterback that's obviously not in the house in Berea as we sit here today.
Again, we're talking Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by our friends over at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Again, talking with JT, John Telich, the longtime sportscaster. JT, I do want to circle back around to the quarterback position and sort of how you go about addressing that in the offseason.
Yeah.
Two quick things before that, I guess, first and foremost, with Mike Vrabel. Where do we see him sort of going next? I mean, I imagine he'll be a pretty hot candidate for a number of different teams with a couple of openings around the league. Believe he's got maybe an interview or two already under his belt. I may be mistaken on that front, but where do we see old Mikey Vrabel ending up?
Well, I think there's the reports as we sit here on a Wednesday afternoon that the Bears are interested in an interview with him, and certainly he would be in the mix at his old team, the Patriots. But one thing that I want to think about here is, my goodness, they had a chance to hire him a year ago, and you know, it may already have been a plan in place when Bill was still in Foxborough, Massachusetts, that it would be Gerard Mayo. That did not work for, you know, a multiplicity of reasons, and he's no longer their head coach. So, you know, why didn't you go for Mike Vrabel in 2023, going 2023-24, when there was that opening after Bill? That's kind of curious. The one team I think that's going to catch more and more intrigue for Mike Vrabel, again, we're sitting here on Wednesday and things can happen somewhat quickly or at least move along fast, is, you know, Tom Brady being more involved with the Raiders as kind of a minority owner there. And who knows Mike Vrabel better than Tom Brady? And so I would think the Raiders has to be somewhat in play for Mike Vrabel. But by and large, he's the most attractive candidate, and he's going to get a lot of looks along with the young offensive coordinator of the Lions, Ben Johnson.
The other question, JT, before we get back to the NFL draft and sort of maybe the free agency questions that need addressed, Myles Garrett, we've talked about this situation in previous episodes. You know, it made it clear a couple of weeks ago he really does not want to be a part of another rebuilding situation. He wants to win, and he wants to win now, and I don't think anybody on earth could blame him for that. How do you go about sort of addressing that situation if you're Cleveland in the Browns front office?
Well, I think I'm going to make a prediction that you know they'll get something resolved, and obviously he has 2 years left on his contract. They're not going to trade him. I mean, pretty much that's been made very, very evident. So I think they will have a situation where they will turn things to the point where you'll have Myles Garrett as a Cleveland Brown for the rest of his career. And I think you can also say the same thing about Denzel Ward. Of course, Denzel has a little bit more cachet in this equation because he's a Cleveland kid and Nordonia High School and all of that. So that would be cool if those guys were part of their long-term plans. And again, you don't want Miles' incredible talent to go wasted the way that Joe Thomas's was. Mm-hmm. And Joe was a first ballot Canton guy, and Miles is on that trajectory as well. So if they play their cards right and maneuver just well enough, you could see a scenario where they're back in the playoff prominence, even in the next season. It's happened. Just look at two teams that are in the playoffs right now, the Broncos and the Commanders. Boom. Young QBs, and off and running they are.
Yeah, no question about that. And, well, speaking of young QBs, JT, the Tennessee Titans, you are on the clock as the NFL draft approaches. And a big thanks from Tennessee, I guess, to the folks over there in Foxborough. As we talked about, no idea what the Patriots were doing in that final week of the season, dropping down three spots in the draft. But right behind those Titans sit the Brownies with that number two pick. So how do you go about this, JT? Obviously, quarterback's a big area that needs addressed, probably the biggest area that needs addressed. It's one of those quote-unquote weak quarterback classes, as some of the talking heads of the football world have discussed. So how do you go about this free agency period with the draft right around the corner and sort of addressing the holes on this roster?
Well, you have to weigh the danger of over-evaluating or plumping up the value of Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. There are people in the NFL that have Sanders not a first-round draft pick, but there are people that do love Cam Ward. If I'm the Browns, I'm actually going bridge with a veteran quarterback, and a guy that has the best fit here is Kirk Cousins. So we'll see if they actually go that route. I go the Kirk Cousins route, year or 2 years here in Cleveland. Won't cost them much because of, you know, the way the contract is structured. And then I go back in the draft a few spaces in order to get premier talent that could help this football team, like the Mason Grahams of the world, the kid from Michigan that would help Myles Garrett on the defensive line, and we'll get a little bit more draft capital, but still look to get one of the better young quarterbacks in this draft a little bit later in the draft. Because I think when you go to the first couple of picks, they're always somewhat overvalued, and I'm not knocking what Jaden Daniels did, nor Bo Nix did as well. But I think that you can solve some of your get to the playoffs in this next year while also being mindful of what's coming around the corner.
Lots to consider here this, the rest of the winter heading into the spring, and it will certainly be a big, crucial offseason for the Browns and their front office as they go about addressing a number of different needs within this team. So, JT, listen, my man, it has been fun doing this all season long with you. I wish the product on field could have been as much fun as we had here on the show, but we can only control what we can control. So, do want to thank you for your efforts here on the show all season long, JT, and here's hoping we can pick things right back up in August.
I look forward to that, and thanks again to you, Rocco, and to the great folks at the station, and of course, your amazing listeners that really know and are very discerning when it comes to football on all levels, from high school with like Avon winning the state championship to college with Ohio State and so on and so forth, and then of course the Browns. Let's see if we can get the Browns to the level of the Avons and the Ohio States.
Right on, JT. Well, thank you very much again, and looking forward to another conversation here down the road.
You got it, buddy.